has been David McGrew for a lot of years. Back in the time when he had long hair, when I had to walk up this long hill to see him, to come and see him at his house, and then he was just hanging out there, and he had what was called, I would call it a mullet, and it was the 80s. That's right. Yeah. So you have to imagine all that today. You have to have a good imagination today. Yes, that's right. Joan's going to show you a picture after service. I'm thankful he's here with us this weekend. He always shows up when something special's going on, when something for the kingdom is going on, when we're involved in something that's new to us and something. He's always here. Isn't that something? And it's kind of like he comes along to hold our hand. But anyway, I want you to know we really appreciate him. He always brings a good word into the house. I don't know what it's going to look like this morning. I don't know if he does. But it'll be a good word anyway. Praise the Lord. But before I bring David out, I want to do a little business with you this morning. And that's, I'm going to officially announce something that's been going on for a long time. You may notice that I've not been in the pulpit here for some time. And if you haven't noticed, I'm announcing it. But the deal is that I'm stepping back. You know, I've gone by my 70th birthday and all of that. And so I'm kind of stepping back a little bit right now, officially, although it's been done. And I'm here with you. I'm expecting to be here with you for a long time yet. But I am stepping back as pastor here. And you're going to hear some more announcements as we go through the morning. But just to tell you that I am officially stepping back as of today. And I'm thankful to be able to do that and know that things are going to continue. In fact, things are going to get better around here in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask right now for Joan. Are you coming now, Joan? Please.
Thank you. We'll do the microphone dance. I'm not sure where to start, so please bear with me a little bit. I'm going to probably expound a little bit for my husband in that I know his heart so well. And
he gave you the press release.
Yes. I'm going to give the amplified.
Yeah, he gave
right?
you the press release, and now we're going to talk about the administration.
I just want to say that I am very grateful to have walked beside this man for 17 years and watched him in ministry, watched who he is, his caliber, and his largeness of heart.
Yes.
And this last year has not been an easy year, quite frankly, for both of us. He has had, and as you know, for a long time now, there has been a great attack against his health. And he's weathered many, many storms, and he is still here, thank God. And I think it's a testimony to his strength and to his desire to stay engaged in the battle. Amen. It is Jesus. So while he may be stepping back, he's just going to fight a different kind of fight. And so he did not talk about it today, but he is not let go of purpose. There was a bit of a struggle, bit of a battle, but he is not let go of the promises of God, but he just believes that the hard work and the, you know, he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that when we were in the old building, he preached so much on crossing over, and you've heard me say it, if I were going to hear another crossing over sermon, I thought I was going to puke. But he really did hear the voice of God, and he preached a lot about crossing over. I was reflecting on it the other day, and he also preached a lot about shame. Do you remember that series on shame? And you know, I would have to say to you that we didn't entirely make it across without letting some shame get on us. But thankfully, we have shaken it off, and we have stepped into the plans and the purposes of God for us today. And I think as we go forward, as I talk about some things, I am very excited because I believe that God is doing a new thing. And it started with Len Zodeman preaching at our grand opening, and it has continued. Has it been slower than what we would like to have it? Absolutely. But yet, we needed to wait on God. And so, I believe that, you know, we've entered into a big work here. But what we want to do is we want to be faithful and we want to remain constant. Amen? And so, I'm sorry, I'm rabbit trailing a little bit.
You're fine.
My thoughts together. But what I wanted to say about my husband is that in the last couple of years, he has been hard on himself because he's not run the race like he thought he should have. But I think in spite of the issues that he's faced, I think he's done a remarkable job.
Yeah.
And so for those of you who don't know, I believe it's only fair to tell you, Nolene has been a very gracious doctor. She has been very loving and very gracious towards us both. She has been patient with us, but she brought forth a bit of a diagnosis that was very difficult for us to kind of acknowledge, and we're not leaving it there. I just want you to know, we're both, and she with us is believing God that diagnosis is not one that will continue to advance, but that it will get reversed. But for those of you who don't know, Glenn has fought dementia, and his memory has not been exactly what it has been in the past. He was very sharp in his memory. And so that has caused him to have to shift the way that he walks out his purpose. But he's not lying down, and he's not giving up, and he's going to still be engaged in the battle, but just in a different way. He needs to be careful with the resources that he has now, and we need to utilize him for what he needs to be specifically utilized for. And so we want to release the weight or the, you know, Paul said, I carry the burden of the church
my
heart.
That's right.
And Glenn has done a magnificent job of carrying us all, especially in the crossing over. That was no small feat. But it's time for him to be able to begin to specialize in the latter days. And I still believe he's with us for a long time yet, but I think he needs to specialize now and really fine-tune what God wants him to do, because there's still a plan and a purpose for him. And so I was encouraging him this morning, and I said, you know what? This building, and actually David said that, but I furthered it. But David said, you know, this building is not your legacy. This building is not our legacy.
No, it is
this
not.
This is just simply a vehicle.
That's right.
That God has given us to get to the purposes that God has for us.
Yep.
But you know what? Megan is his legacy. Stephen and Kelly are his legacy. Wayne and Marge are his legacy. Roberta, Patience, we are
Amen.
Glenn's legacy. And Amen. It's this active organism, this organism that is alive and filled with the purposes of God, with the life of God, the love of God, we are Glenn's legacy. And so if we remain faithful to our post, and if we stay dedicated to the purposes of God, then it doesn't necessarily matter what he finished or didn't finish, because we continue to run the race, amen? And we continue to hold him up and to continue to help him fulfill what he needs to do. And so, with that in mind, we have come to a place where he is stepping back, he's going to shift, he's going to change what his purpose is. And, you know, we've been on our faces for a long time before God, looking at what God's heart was for this congregation. We've had many, many conversations with David and with Jim Randall and Len Zodeman, the three of them. And the other two could be, you know, we wish that they could have been here today, but because of time and cost and just putting this together, it just, they're here with us in heart, but David's here representing the three of them. And so with the three, we have spent a lot of time in prayer before God, asking him, what was the next season looking like? And we thought about bringing outside, well, we prayed about bringing outside sources in. But God just didn't put a stamp of approval on that at all. He said, it's in the house. And so we have looked to what is in the house for the leadership for the next season. And we believe that to be Stephen and Kelly and Megan. And then the Lord specifically spoke to me and said, you need to step back into the game, because I wasn't sure about where my part fit. And but it was, and I'll just read the scripture. He's spoken to me other things, but this scripture in particular was something that he gave me this morning.
Good.
And he said, it's out of 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. He said, now Timothy, my son, here, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, but he said, now Timothy, my son, here is my command to you. Fight well in the Lord's battles, just as the Lord told us through his prophets that you would. Cling tightly to your faith in Christ and always keep your conscience clear, doing what you know is right. But I just, it would have been easier for me to kind of have stepped out the back door and stayed with my husband. But I did not feel like that was what the Lord had planned for me. And I believe that I'm to step into the position of, and I guess the word that we're using is overseer. But specifically to be a transition hinge.
Yeah.
For the next phase, for Stephen and Kelly, and for Megan.
And for the other leaders.
And for the other leaders. And so I believe that I'm in a transition period, and that's what my role is for this specific season and time. And so David's probably going to expound on that. But I believe that we're in a really good season. I believe that I need to thank you all for your patience, because there has been sort of a waiting time. Partly we needed the rest. After all of the construction, we were all a bit weary, weren't we? Well, at least I know I was. So if any of you weren't, I was. So, but we've rested, and we've seen Plaza 88 get on its feet, and it's well on its way. But it is time for Embassy Church to begin to fully step in to the matrix that Len Zodeman talked about, and so I want to thank you all for your patience, because I'm sure you've kind of sat there at times wondering, okay, what is going on? But you know, the Lord was at work, and I believe the Lord is at work, and I'm very excited for what is to come. And so on that note, I had some more thoughts, but I think I'm going to leave them.
I think you did a good job.
Well, thank you.
You both did a good job.
Thank you.
And if there's anything else you need to say later, you can just give me the wink.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
You did good.
Bless you all.
I'm going to try to put some meat on the bones of the thoughts, and there's no way to discuss all of this. Many of us, you know me, many of you do, and we've known each other and walked together for a long time, and you're my friends. I told the crowd last night, Wayne, I think, asked a question about external connections for Glenn and Joan. Everybody say Glenn. And Glenn and Joan, you didn't all do that, but we'll come back to it. Glenn responded, or maybe Joan did, that it is a leadership team. They had reached out to John Alley for a season, but the distance and the time, and it was just not convenient for anybody, so that they fell back on the relationships that existed, the relationships with me and with Lynn Zodeman and with Jim Randall, or maybe a little bit more earthy, more down to the local texture of who you all are, but we've all got a history with you. And so I told the group last night, we met with the leaders, some of the leaders, and I said, I had coffee with Jim Randall this week, and before we sat down with our coffee, we were talking about Glenn and Joan and you as a church. Last month, I picked up Lynn Zodeman from the airport, and before we left the airport, we were talking about Glenn and Joan and your church. So you might not see all of us, and we probably don't always make good use of our words or our time, but you exist as a body of believers deeply in many people's hearts that carry you and believe God for you and believe in you and believe in the future that God's called you to. But it's time for some strong changes. Now, on the one hand, you're going to end up the service this morning and you're going to say nothing's changed, everything is as it was. On the other hand, there are going to be things that happen and are said that are intended to be watershed words and moments so that nothing will be exactly the same. Yeah. I'll remind you that 1 Thessalonians 5:1 says that you know the times and the seasons, and you don't need to have any man teach you. Times and seasons are two different thoughts. Times and seasons. In fact, I'll remind you that there's one place where Jesus said to his apostles, when they were talking about his return, he said, "You can't know that, and I don't know that. Only the Father knows that." Seasons are not seen in a day. You might get a glimpse of a season change, a spring or a winter or an autumn coming on. And it's going to be a different scene. It's going to be a different picture that each one of us draws. But you know that slowly, gradually, things are changing. And you know once you begin to see the season changes that you're moving a certain direction and there's no going back. That's what the last year has been for you. That's certainly what today is. It's showing that there is a season change. And in that season change, I'll remind you again of what it says in the second chapter of Daniel, as quick as my microphone quits ringing. The second chapter of Daniel says that the Lord disposes kings and sets up others. He sets times and he sets seasons. This is that kind of a change. Glenn will always be your pastor in a very real yet increasingly distant sense. I'd encourage you all to hold to your relationship with him as best you could. But I would also encourage, and for your own soul's sake, for your health, insist that you enlarge your heart and allow not just Stephen and Kelly and Megan into your heart as extensions of Glenn, but allow them as ministers of the gospel. Allow them as pastoral gifts into your heart so that they can speak on their own behalf, so that they can speak the living word. Now, they'll have to be accountable, and Joan alluded to this. Joan is going to be not the apostle, not the pastor. Joan's not going to pastor the church. But I'm going to ask you, and I have reason to believe you're going to hear me, to allow Joan into your heart as she makes her rounds and does what overseers do. They visit. But it's a visit word like we don't have in English. When we say, I'm going to go visit somebody, we think we mean we're going to have coffee. Visit means, in the Bible, it means inspect. It means look. It doesn't mean look to try to find fault or try to find wrong per se, but just let's see what's really in there. And let's, with no, I'm not going to spank you, I'm not mad at you, but let's just be honest and honorable and let's find out what the truth is. And it might look messy sometimes. I might step on your toes, you might step on mine, but let's, through the commitment and the relationship that we have, let's begin to look, because the season you're at as a church is one where new vision needs to come, new direction needs to come. For reasons that are beyond any of us to determine, Glenn's season as your primary leader is finished. It's finished. It's over. He'll still be there as an extension of these other people. He'll still be there as a voice. He'll still be there from time to time. He might preach or take up an offering. He's got the right to do that. He's got great honor coming to him, and there's great love in your heart for it. So this is not a case of moving Glenn out of your heart. It's a case of enlarging your heart. And enlarging your heart is always the right Christian thing to do. It's always the right thing to do. Your spiritual future will always be hindered or released by your capacity to make your heart grow and embrace people that you may or may not love through difficulties you may or may not appreciate or understand. Your spirituality will die on the vine if you do not keep pushing yourself to have an open and a pure and a clean heart. So, to move ahead, we'd all like to think vision was the next thing that had to happen, but you're all probably tired of hearing me say this. Some of you had heard it 2 and 3 times. Vision is not the necessary item right now. I wish it was. It'd be easy to stand up here and say, let's get a scripture and we'll get a vision. And we'll try to move into it. But you can't even move into a vision until you're aware of the resources and the assets that you have in your midst. The vision is determined from here on out by who you are, by what you bring to the table, and by what you're willing to do as take an opportunity. That's what the vision's going to be. And it's time for a vision increase and enhancement. This is a wonderful thing. God's done great things in your midst. This is not the end. There's more to go. But a healthy soul is going to require you to say, that was then, this is now. We're going to hang on to the good from the past. We're going to remember and keep those things, take them into eternity. But we're not going to try and be those people we were in that other building across the street. We're not going to be those people that we were when we built this building. We cannot be. And in your case, I don't know why seasons change or how they change. They just do. In your case, it requires a season change. And it requires great courage on your behalf to receive it and to implement it. I'm going to read a portion of Scripture to you, and I won't take long. I will. It's a pretty good-sized paragraph, and I'll make a few comments as we go down. We're going to end up, and we're going to pray. That's what we're going to do. In that prayer, part of that prayer, we're going to release Glenn Stead to the future that God has for him. This is what we're going to do. So you can always look back on this day, whether you like it or not, this is what we're going to do. And we're going to embrace Stephen and Kelly and Megan in particular as the pastoral team of the church. And we're going to embrace Joan as having oversight specifically with that team. Now, I think Lisa asked me last night, does this mean Joan's over everybody, or does this mean Joan sits at the table with everybody? This is more of a sits at the table. Joan's not the boss. You don't need a boss right now. You're okay. You're stable. You're strong. You don't have too many things that have to be sorted out. You're in a good spot where you can rest and grow and let the future unveil itself. But there'll be leadership given by bosses and leaders on different levels. And if push comes to shove, then Megan and Steve and Kelly will sort out what's supposed to happen. And if they can't do it, they'll talk to Joan. And Joan will know. Joan will have to be more involved so she knows what they're doing, so that the church is moving ahead as a cohesive unit, not just as different parts led by different people. And for some reason, if Joan and Megan and Steve and Kelly can't sort it out, then she'll go talk to Glenn. And if they can't sort it out then she'll call me or Lynn or Jim or all of us or whomever seems to be the more appropriate or the more necessary at the time. And if that don't work, then we'll all come over here and we'll take 3 days off work and we'll pray and fast.
Amen.
This is not a joke.
Yeah.
We won't go beyond what everybody's faith and spirituality can carry, but we'll move right up to that edge. As far as we can go, we'll go, but we'll do whatever we have to do. We'll take off everything we have to take off, every title, every administration. We'll take off everything we have to take off so we can come naked before the presence of the Lord spiritually and find out what the will of God is for the next step. You're safe. As far as I can tell safety, you're safe. As far as I can tell strength, you're strong. So you're in a good way. Acts chapter 20. Somebody at least have the decency to cough or something. Laugh. This is not pleasant for Glenn.
Can I think I'm going to read something, David?
It's apparently pleasant for Joan.
He did give me permission.
I did.
He said, if you have to interrupt me.
I did, and you do it.
And I think I need to... read something from Lenz Odeman from the time of our dedication. He said, back to the word for us, the journey, this church is now on the edge of the glory of God, a whole new dominion in the spirit realm as it relates to this city. There is a governance in the area of prayer that you're going to carry as a church. Nehemiah shifted a culture of an entire Jewish nation because he was a man of prayer. And you know, David and I have had a lot of conversations about vision, and he just referred to vision. And many of us think, and we've all been taught, that vision is a starting point, but really in reality, it's actually not.
It's the end of the cycle.
And so... And we've also heard that, you know, culture trumps vision. And so I'm reminded of this, where in the word that was spoken to us, it says Nehemiah shifted a culture of an entire Jewish nation because he was a man of prayer. And so he goes on to say the scripture, and he reminds us of the scripture, whatever you bind in heaven will be bound in heaven, and whatever you will loose. And we consider our prayer times very, very important. So he said, what I feel in my spirit is there is a dominion and a mantle that is going to rest upon your lives. So he's talking about us corporately here. And thinking about Pastor Glenn, the scripture, the spirit of a man will sustain him in his infirmity.
He has done that.
And he has done that. The strength of his spirit and the strength of the call, he is a sign and a wonder in your midst. And that is true. There is a governance grace, not just of Pastor Glenn, but on all of you. And so see, this is larger than Pastor Glenn. This is about us as a corporate body. So there is a governance grace that rests on us. A governance grace for the assignment of Embassy Church, an assignment to the city, because this building is a door. This is about community. This is about God's kingdom.
Very good. Hang on to that, you might need it. Well, let's look at the scripture. Acts chapter 20, This is going to be the story of the basic first pastor's conference, maybe the only one. There's other allusions, but this is the big one alluded to in Ephesus that the Apostle Paul called. And we're going to read down from verse 17 down to verse 32. And there are verses in here that I think will appertain to Glenn, that will appertain to Joan, that will appertain to Stephen and Kelly and Megan and the rest of the leadership team and you as a church. I want to tell you again, you've got a wholesome future ahead of you. And while your vision might have to be retooled, your purpose has never changed. Vision tends to have start and stopping points. Purpose never changes. So you'll have to go back and find out again through conversations with Glenn, I'm sure, and other people, who you are as a purpose, who God purposed you to be, and what that's going to look like in this next segment of the 21st century. So verse 17 says, "Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia.'" So Glenn could say this, most of you that were here from the beginning at least, and whatever season you've been here, "You yourselves know that how he's lived among you. The whole time that he's been here, the whole time that he's been in Prince Albert, and Glenn and I both came into the kingdom of God as grown men. So we had a lot of baggage we had to work through, and we didn't necessarily have the training or the expertise to always be who we wanted to be. But I can tell you about Glenn. I'd say it about myself, but only because I can say it about myself that I can say it about Glenn. I recognize it in him. That through his mistakes, through his humanity, through his shallow spots, through his deep spots, he was always authentic. He was always sincere. He always did the very level best he knew to be the leader in the kingdom of God that he had been made to be. At the end of the day, that's all you get to go into eternity with, is the fact that you tried, the fact that you applied yourself to the wisdom and the knowledge you have. So I think you can all give a witness that from the first day he showed up, he hasn't been of two minds, he hasn't been two people, he's tried to be the same guy and he's tried to be the right guy. Amen. "Serving the Lord," it says in verse 19, "serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to Glenn through the plots of people and through the plots of the devil and through his own faults and mistakes." But in it, how Glenn did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you. And when he couldn't declare it and teach it, he brought somebody in to expand your heart and mind, both in public and from house to house, testifying to anybody that wanted to listen in PA and wherever he went, to the Jews, to the Greeks, of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We were bragging about Glenn a minute ago, about some aspect of how he stood and was strong, and he was sitting on the front row. He didn't have a microphone, but you didn't hear what he said. He lifted his hand and said, "I call it Jesus." There's always a tendency in the preacher class amongst us to take more credit than we're due, probably through all of us, but the preacher class amongst us would like to think that everything rose and falls on our own capacity to live it and be a leader, but that's not true. It rises and falls on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You should take note when a man in dire circumstances who seems to be in some regards losing holds his chin up, walks defiantly into his future, and still points to the Lord Jesus Christ instead of trying to attract attention to himself. You have a jewel in your midst. And it's so easy to become accustomed to it that you might forget what you've got. But you've had a jewel, you've got a jewel, and you still will. But you're not going to be able to take it out and wear it every time that you want to in the future. You're going to have to let him take care of his own soul, of his own life, to believe God. You're going to have to let the battle that he's fighting for his own mind and for his own health transpire largely in his privacy. You're going to have to join your faith. You're going to have to join your heart. But you're going to have to count on other people to carry your souls and to carry you into your future. Man, I can feel the silence. Every time I preach here, I can feel the silence. I know some of you look at me when I show up like, oh God, what's wrong? If you ever walked into my church, when I saw you walking in the back door, I'd go, oh God, what's wrong? What's happening? What have I done wrong? He says, he didn't shrink back. He says, what he did was he gave glory to the Lord Jesus at the end of verse 21, verse 22. And now, verse 22 says, and now. So there's nows and then there's thens, correct? This is the now time. Now, look, he says, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there. Glenn's not going anyplace physically, but he is having his own now season where he's constrained to make changes. He didn't want to make the changes, and he didn't see them happening this way, and he's doing the best he can to carry the dignity that he can. But he is constrained, and all he can do is rely upon the Spirit to help him through them, even though none of us really know what next year is going to look like. We're believing and we're hoping, but we don't know. Verse 23, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. See, Glenn's got it easy. But I do not, in verse 24 is important. Paul says it, I'd like to be able to say it to you. Glenn can say it to you. I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. Precious to Christ? Yeah. Precious to you? Yeah. But I'm ready to spend and be spent, Glenn would say. I'm ready to be poured out as an offering on your faith, and he's been poured out as an offering on your faith. He's just not precious to himself. If only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Two wonderful things in verse 24. It says there's a course and there's a ministry. The course comes first. Glenn or any of us can't fulfill the ministry God's given us if we get on the wrong course.
Yeah, that's good, David.
That's why it is important where you go and who you hang out with. It's not just enough to say, I'm called to be this and I'm called to do that. Because if you get off the course, you could still be exercising your gifts and your fullness of capacity. But if you're off the divine course for your life, God's lost the ability that he needed to educate you and school you and who you had to be to use the gifts that he's given you. And it's not long till you will be well and truly hurt. And, Jesus, forgive me, well and truly hurting others, even as you execute the fullness of the gift that God gave you. I don't want to be mystical about it. We all make mistakes. We blunder through life. But by the grace of God, he gets us back on track and he gets us back home. This part of Glenn's ministry is finished as far as leading and carrying the church. Carrying the church, not the preaching part. It's the carrying you in his heart, carrying you in his soul that's going to be missed by everyone, that's going to be noticed by everyone. It's that part that he can no longer effectively, day by day, do. He has, in wisdom, decided that the best way to do it would be to let those who are in the position to do it do the spiritual caring, the spiritual insight, the spiritual visitation that's required to help you as a body find out who you are, what your gifts are, your capacities are, and to walk into your future. And that makes him a hero. When church is over, you should all hug him and love him and give him money and presents and write him cards. That makes him a hero. He's given his life for you. As he should. I wouldn't be here if he hadn't. I don't hang around with people that don't do that. My friends don't do that. All my friends do that. Or they're not my friends. I'm not looking for fancy preachers. I'm not looking for the guy with a new revelation. I'm looking for men and women that are ready to die if the moment requires them to die. So much for me. He says that I might finish my course in verse 24 again and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus. Glenn still has a course and he still has a ministry. It's just not here. And to be honest with you, it may elude him and it may seem to fade into the horizon sometimes for him. So he desperately needs your encouragement and your prayers and your faith and your love. And it wouldn't hurt if you did send him cards and texts and emails. He may or may not write you back. But good words from you will buoy his spirits and strengthen his heart. He says, and now, here's another now for Paul. Behold, look at this. I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. So see, this could be worse. Therefore, he says, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink. Did you shrink, Glenn? Are you aware of any time that you shrunk back from declaring the whole counsel of God? I might not have always said it as well. He said, no, he's not aware. I might not have always said it as plainly and clearly as I could have, but I did my best. I did my best with what I understood to say the truth. I didn't beat people with it to my knowledge. I didn't abuse them. I just told them the truth. Did you tell them the truth? What a great treasure you get to take into eternity 20 years from now when you go. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. So he says to Steve, and he says to Kelly, and he said to Megan, pay careful attention to yourself. Joan, pay careful attention to yourself. Don't require of others what you don't require of yourself. Expect the highest level of spirituality out of them that you can, and do it yourself. At the sake of your sleep, at the sake of your hobbies, of your habits, at the sake of your house. You pay careful attention to yourself. It says later on in Timothy, because if you do, you can save yourself and those that will hear you. The implication is that you don't. You can go through a form of church, a form of leadership, but it doesn't have any spiritual horsepower in it. It doesn't have any strength to it. Pay careful attention to yourselves, first, and second, to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. There's a great sermon on all the flock, but I'm going to skip it for your sake. It's not just part of a church. You've got to look out for the weak, the strong, the happy, the glad, the sick, the healthy, the angry, the happy. You've got to equally treat them all the same with love and respect, doing your best to call them and to believe them into the divine future God's planted in their heart. He says, take care of the church. He said, excuse me, I'm ahead of myself. Pay careful attention to yourself and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he's obtained with his own blood. This is the only scripture I know of in the New Testament, for sure, I'm certain about that, where the Holy Spirit's ever connected to a ministry gift. And there's that word overseer right there. It's the word we get our word bishop from. It means to look in. It means to visit, to pay attention to. But the cue in this verse right here is in the fact that the Holy Spirit, who rules and reigns over relationships in particular, it's not the only thing he does, but he rules and reigns in and through relationships. It says the Holy Spirit makes you overseers. I can't make you an overseer. Nobody can give you a diploma that makes you an overseer. The only thing that can happen is that the Holy Spirit can make you an overseer. And that doesn't happen just because you receive a grace from God. It happens. It doesn't make you a pastor because God gives you a word to be a pastor. That's a start. But what has to happen is the connection that has to take place. And in that connection where you wander around and lead each other and abuse each other, that somehow you keep working till you find God in the mix. It's the willingness to not turn loose of it until Jesus Christ is manifested in that relationship. Joan, are you willing to hang on to these relationships until Jesus Christ is manifested in them? Stephen, are you willing to hang on to these relationships until Jesus Christ is manifested in them, and not just till you're happy and it's going good like you want it to go and that you're successful in your ministry, but until something happens so that you're you and I'm me, but somewhere where this joining takes place, Jesus is there?
Yes, I am.
That's not going to be fun, buddy. You know this, right?
Yes, I do.
It's going to be expensive. People are going to talk badly about you, and they're going to be disappointed in you. You're not going to get what you want all the time when you want it. You understand this. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to give up on them. So you've done a good job so far, and I know that I'm preaching to the choir here. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I just want to hear you say it, that this is really, really important to you, even if it doesn't go exactly like you want it to go.
My life.
This is your life. You're my kind of guy. How about you? Even if you don't get the honor and the respect you think you deserve, are you willing to be big enough to do this, not for their sakes, not for your sake, but for His sake? Absolutely. I think you are too. I believe you. Megan? Everyone talks grandly about the grace and the preaching and the anointing that's on your life, and it's easy to see and it's glorious to hear about. But this will require relational commitment from you that's both broad and deep. It's not just deep. It's not just broad where you want it to go. It's broad when people want something from you. Are you ready to live up to that? Say so with your mouth. Okay. I thought you were. Not everybody could see you nodding your head, though. And she is eagerly nodding her head. I believe you. I believe you. And in that point right there, Megan, that right there is where the truth is that you mentioned twice yesterday. It's not naive. The grace of God will get you past it. But the grace of God doesn't come until you get to that spot. Is that true, Glenn? He says, care for yourselves. Megan, will you take care of your own spiritual life? Will you read your Bible? Will you pray? Will you pray about you and your life and vision as opposed to just praying about problems in business and church? Will you pray and ask God to show you things you don't know? So you'll pray just not because there's trouble? Okay. You'll take care of yourself spiritually as well as your family. You'll take care of yourself knowing that you're a holy vessel, that you've got to carry a lot of people in your heart. That you'll be mindful when you go someplace and you see something on TV, you say, I can't watch that. Not because I don't think it's okay for me to watch it, but eventually I'm going to have to come to terms with the fact that if I watch it, I might let somebody else down. And I'll watch what I eat, I'll watch what I'll drink, I'll be careful about making sure that I live a righteous life that I can defend. A lifestyle. I'll dress in a way that I can defend. I believe you. I hate to sound like I'm preaching about the clothesline, but who the preacher is affects who the church is, even if it's never openly discussed. Who the leader of the body is shapes, because his heart stands up and speaks, and spirit to spirit communications made. Who I am comes through more than my words. So if I don't pay attention to who I am, and there's many things that I don't do, there's probably things I do I shouldn't do, I'll admit this, but many things I don't do in my own private life, I don't do them because I don't have a conviction against doing them. I don't do them because I don't want that spirit to flow from me to somebody else and give them permission to do something that maybe that they're not supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not a lot of fun all the time, but it is a responsibility, and I am not sniveling about it. Jesus is listening. I am not sniveling about this. He says in verse 29, and we're almost done, hang tight, kids. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted or perverted things to draw away the disciples after them. We're going to finish up with verse 31 and 32. I'm going to make one small point about in verse 30, I think it is. Slide back up to 30, Stephen. Slide back up to 29. Departure. That after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. You'll know that when we started reading this paragraph, Paul wasn't with them. Paul had already departed. Is that not true? He wasn't with them physically. But what's happening here is he's saying, I'm turning loose of you spiritually. So this is the departure he's talking about. He's saying, I'm disengaging with all my heart from who you are. I'm going to another place. I can't carry you all. He's having the same kind of conversation that we're having this morning. Because he's already been departed. He's out of town. Is this not true? He's out of town. Can I get a witness? Is Paul out of town? So he's been away from all these guys for a long time, hasn't he? They've been carrying on with their life. They've been pastoring their church, just like Megan and Stephen and Kelly and Glenn have to the best of their abilities. They've been doing all this. But he finally says, we need to get together and talk. He says, because I'm leaving. And this time when I leave, I'm going to be in such dire straits in my own life with the afflictions and the trouble that's coming my way that I'm just to tell you the honest God truth, I'm not going to be able to think about you all the time and believe God for you. I'm withdrawing my presence from your midst. I'm leaving you. And you're on your own. And that's why I'm telling you guys that you need to pony up and that you need to do the right thing. That's what he's saying to him. You need to be strong. You need to pay attention to yourself. You need to watch out. Because when I leave spiritually, there's going to be a vacuum. There's going to be a spiritual vacuum that happens. And you have to pay attention. Meg, you got to be strong enough and smart enough to know that when your dad's faith is not so directly connected to the house, to the room, to the people that are in it, that other voices will try and come in, that people will begin to watch things on the internet and try and tell you what you should preach, that there'll be different flavors and different things that are happening, and you need to know, Stephen and Kelly, you need to know, Joan, that you're going to have to compensate for where Glenn no longer is. You're going to have to be able to carry that spiritually for the sake of the flock. I know this is a sermon aimed at Megan and Kelly and Steve and Joan. I know this. But you need to know it because things are going to change. New vision's going to come forth that you're going to be tempted to say, what does Glenn think about that? And what Glenn thinks about it is not going to be the point you need to be concerned with. That's the point that Megan and Steve and Kelly and Joan need to be concerned with. And there may be some vision that comes forth that Glenn wouldn't have done 5 years ago, but it has to be done in a new way and it has to be done differently. And they need to have the liberty and the freedom to lead and to walk in the direction that God's called them to, because Glenn's not finished. He's still got a course. He's still got a ministry. He's got places to go to, and it's going to take all the courage and faith and strength he can muster to find how he's supposed to touch people's lives, on what level and to what extent. But you're not going to be his primary load to carry anymore.
Yes. Well said, David.
I don't like this any more than you do. I don't like it any more than you do, but it's still the truth. So he goes on, and he says, Stephen, in verse 31, be alert, pay attention. Not just to what's right in front of your nose or your face. After you've paid attention to yourself spiritually and you carry others spiritually, pay attention to what's going on. He says, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease day or night to admonish everyone with tears. He means two things in verse 31. He's saying, Stephen, you're going to have to follow the same path Glenn did. And you're going to have to know that it's a full-time function whether you get paid for it or not. That it's a full-time deal, that with grief and tears and feeling and emotion, you're going to have to admonish night and day, day in and day out. But he's also saying, remember what you heard. Remember what I taught you. Remember what you've learned. Remember what you've seen. Paul said in another place, those things that you've seen and heard and believed and received in me do. You see, hear, and learn. That makes you receive, that makes you believe, and then you have to make a choice to receive. He says, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And he says, and this is the happy part, now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Glenn, Glenn, can you stand up and read verse 31 through the microphone? Stand up and look at him if you can, buddy.
No, it's okay.
Okay. Get up here. I'll push you down.
Verse 31?
31.
Okay. We have either the Message or the New King James to pick from. Okay. Inside.
Okay. See it there, bud?
Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears.
Except in your case, it's from 1988 to now, isn't it? So for the space of 28 years,
yes.
Remember that by the space of 28 years, read the rest, the next verse.
I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears.
Now read verse 32 to them.
And now, brethren,
That's good, buddy.
Now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified.
Can you say amen to that, Glenn?
Amen. Amen.
Can you say amen to the hearing of that?
Amen.
That's the best thing he can give you.
Thank you.
Just commend you to the grace of God and to the word of his grace, amen, which is able to bear you up and keep you and cause you to have your inheritance.
Yes.
When I don't know what to pray for other people, I commend them to God and to the word of his grace.
Yeah.
For he alone is able to keep them and bear them up, cause them to be established, and
yes,
give them the inheritance.
Yes, amen.
Sometimes I don't know what to say, but I can say, I commend you to God.
Yeah.
I give you to God. I give you to God, to the word of his grace.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you all to stand up with me. I didn't even pray for you when I started, so I'm going to start by praying for you. Lord, may your word and your spirit work in their hearts, work in their lives, unveiling truth, strengthening that which remains, holding tight to their love and their relationship with Glenn, but allowing Pastor Glennstead to move into the realms that you've called him to. We bless him. We love him. We thank you for who he's been and for who he shall continue to be. May we, by your Spirit, see him for who he is now and what he shall again deliver to us in the future.
Mm-hmm.
We do this in Jesus' name. I think I sent him off crying, and I didn't mean to do that because I do need him in a minute. While we're getting ready for him, we're going to pray, and you're all going to pray with me. You're going to make a case with me. So, Megan, I'd like for you to come up here. And you need to bring your boyfriend, too. Steve and Kelly, come up here with me. Megan, do you have anything you'd like to say?
I should have brought my phone with me because...
Should I go around and get it?
No, it's okay. I'll just... can you put Isaiah 43 up, please? I don't even know what verse, though, so... In the Message Bible?
Hey, buddy. How you doing? It's good to see you.
It's a verse that we're... Just start at the beginning. It's a verse that we're familiar with, but...
I think it's verse 10.
Is it?
Is that the one about?
Behold, I do new thing. The first 10?
I think it's
20. We'll start at the beginning just for a sec, if you can, in the Message. Luke's like, enough of this. I'm just going to bring her phone. Yeah.
What a clever boy.
Isn't he?
I'm working on getting him a girlfriend.
I don't think he needs help.
We got one picked up. We got one picked out. That's a special one.
But now God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob, the one who got you started, Israel. Don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down.
That's right.
When you're between a rock and a hard place, it will not be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God. I paid a huge price for you.
Jesus.
And I was just talking with Joan, and Tamara sent me a song this morning too, and it was. It talked about being, one of the lines of the song was, when I'm on my knees on this battlefield, I know that you were with me. And that's been so true for all of us, that he never left us. And he's been so good, and he's been so faithful.
He has.
Through this time. And he'll continue to walk with us. And the next part of the verse, which I'll read, is so exciting because he is doing a new thing. And it's an exciting time for us.
It really is. It's a good time. It's a good time.
Fear. So, thanks. I'll just read the next one here. It's the problem with the Message Bible is there's really no verses. It's just all kind of stuck together. Sorry.
That's okay. It's worth hearing.
Just for you, I will march on Babylon. I'll turn the tables of the Babylonians. Instead of whooping it up, they'll be wailing. And I just think of that as the enemy. He's tried to come in and tried to break up, and God just said, no, I will be God. I am God.
That's right.
And then he does say, I am God, your Holy One, creator of Israel, your King. This is what God says, the God who builds a road right through the ocean, who carves a path through pounding waves. The God who summons horses and chariots and armies, they lie down and they can't get up. And then he says, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history.
Yeah.
Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new.
That's great, that's great.
It's bursting out, don't you see it? And then he says, there it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers and badlands. And I love that. Don't keep going over old things. This is a new day. And be alert. Be present. Because we're all needed. We're all needed to come together.
Very good.
And to be alert and to
Very
be present.
Good.
And I'm excited.
Very good. I am too. That's wonderful. Jared, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you might have something you want to say. You're welcome to if you do. If you don't, you don't have to. Oh, come on, man. Just out of honor and respect, buddy. No questions. You have anything you want to say?
It's a scripture that's held to my heart for many years. Before I read it, we've gone through quite a journey in the last 4 years. But I look at the faces that I see here this morning. I see the ones that have fought the fight through all the adversity. And then I see the faces, the men and women that the Lord has brought in this season.
Yeah.
And there's still many that I've yet to know and want to spend time with. But there's a strategy that the Lord is doing and is developing here that maybe we don't see clearly, but there's the pieces of a puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is happening here. And we're all of us are an integral part, whether, as I saw this young little sweet girl of 2 years old dancing before the Lord this morning. That was incredible. You know, God is so good. Whether we're 2 years old or 92 years old, we have a role to play here. And it's a good day. And the scripture that the Lord gave me many years ago, I've held on to is in Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren, that thou didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child, For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife.
That's a good word.
Enlarge the place of your tent. And let them stretch forth the curtain of thine inhabitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. We have crossed over.
We have.
And we've taken our cords and we've stretched them. We don't clearly see what's happening in the stretching.
No.
But there is a day before us that's really incredible. Because God has been here, as you said, Megan, every day. Whether we could see it, whether we could know it or not, he has been here every single day. Because it's his church. And there's a wonderful destiny in store for all of us. And as I shared with Glenn last week when I had coffee, Pastor Glenn's my mentor. And when he doesn't need to be in his nothing box, as he describes it, I will sit down and have coffee with him and go, talk to me, teach me.
Yep.
And I know Megan will do the same, and there's many of us that we can draw upon the wealth.
The rich treasure.
There, you know, when I look at the future of his ministry, for me, that carries on every day.
It does.
You know, there is so much sitting inside of him, and when I can grab a hold of something, when we can sit down for coffee, when we can go to their place and just go talk to me, teach me, I've got a lot of good years in front of me.
You do. So does he.
Amen.
They're just different years. It's a season change.
Yeah.
I just want to say that I so appreciate you all. And, ooh, lipstick. This microphone's covered with lipstick.
It's mine. It's mine.
I think it's a pair of lips just... not very far from me. But, you know, we in this church have something so, so unique and so special. We have a love and we have a unity amongst one another that is really, it's second to none. And it's, you know, when I get discouraged and stuff, you know, and I'm sure you do too, it's like, this is family. You know, I think of you guys, and I think of your love, and I think, this is my family. And I just want you to know that that you are loved, and that that's something that we really need to protect. Because we know, like David was talking about, that there will be things to come in, to try and get in, and try and break us up. And divisive things. Because when we have this love and we have this unity, we need to watch for divisive spirits and don't give in to them. Because those kinds of things are there to just, they will break through that barrier of love and our unity. So we need to, as a whole, we need to protect one another in that. And if we have a division or you have an offense, then make it right.
Talk about it. Yeah, talk about it. Well, open up. Open up. Talk about it. That's what you have to do. I was encouraging. Come on.
You want her?
No. I mean, just like, that's when you have an offense. That's what you do, is you say, I got a problem.
Well, sort of. last night we had, like, a leaders meeting, right? And I know a few of you just, you know, said, oh, what's wrong this morning? And I said, I'm going through some stuff. And I was going through some stuff. To me, that was a hard meeting. And it wasn't the outcome. The outcome of the meeting was perfect. It's just the way it should have been. But my offense, I guess I probably was offended. And I was upset. And I was really, really choked at this man right here, David McGrew. And I just want to say I'm sorry.
You don't need to say you're sorry.
I forgive you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. She's practicing what I preached last week.
I'm not That's even going to so ask awesome. What I did because I've already been forgiven and now I'd be bringing up old things.
Amen. Amen.
I just feel like I got saved again.
That's that largeness of heart we're talking
it
about.
Is.
Isn't it?
It is.
Amen.
So where are you going?
What I know where I'm going.
You know?
I forgot a little ways back. I think I'm going to tell Jarrett to start dyeing my hair silver because I think the blonde's not working. Well, because I talked about that scripture about the where the Lord had said, go to my son Timothy, and I talked about the battles, and then I realized I shared the scripture, but I never even referenced what the Lord was saying.
Okay.
So I just wanted to say that the Lord said, you know, there we still have to contend for what God has promised us.
You do.
And the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. But that the way that we take it by force is through prayer, right? Through contending, through the word. Anyway, I just wanted to share this, and I think it kind of sums up what Megan's talking about and what Stephen and Kelly just shared. And where David finished off in his scriptures, Deuteronomy 31, verse 28 to 30 in the Living Bible says, "Now summon all the elders and officers of your tribes so that I can speak to them and call heaven and earth to witness against them. I know that after my death," this sounds very similar to what Paul was saying, "I know that after my death you will utterly defile yourselves and turn away from God and his commands, and in the days to come evil will crush you, for you will do what the Lord says is evil, making him very angry." That's not what I'm focusing on.
Thanks be to Jesus.
Because that's not what we're going to
do.
No,
that's not right. This is right.
At all. But what Moses was instructed to do, he was instructed to write a song and to sing to it. And there is, when Moses sang the song, it was because we still need the older to carry the younger. We need Megan, we need Jordan and Charity, we need Haley, we need all the younger crew, we need Jared, we need Luke and Logan. And we need the younger generation, but the older still need to work with the younger. And that's what Moses was trying to say, so that in case the younger forgot where we came from, the elders were to sort of, you know, provide some boundaries, to provide some structure, because we do need structure, we do need order, we do need boundaries, but we need the life and the vitality and the energy of the younger. And so Moses was instructed to sing a song, and I think it was shared at the conference, wasn't it, that ancient Hebrew scholars think that God sung creation into existence. And so it was the song that Moses wrote was what carried the anointing.
You
to
go ahead
keep
and be seated for a minute. Go ahead and be seated.
From deliverance of that evil.
Yeah.
It was songs of deliverance.
Yeah.
And so the phrase that I've got here is that there are wells that only come when we sing to them. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is that we should not look at this time as a sad time, but that we should look at this time as a time of rejoicing, and that we need to sing. We need to sing and be grateful and thankful. And if we keep that attitude and if we keep that heart amongst us, we need to sing our new wells to spring forth. As the water that they both mentioned, the rivers, the waters, we need to sing those wells into existence, right? We need to rejoice.
Yeah.
We need to be thankful that God has been with us through this whole season, and he's going to continue to be with us. Amen?
Very good. Very good. No, I don't. Sorry. We're about done. We're about done. And I'm gonna presume upon you one or two more times. Joan, stay up here with us. That's what I was going to say, dear, was that the people that were at the meeting last night that are here, the leaders, I want to ask you all to come up here too. Except I'm not going to ask you to stand up here like this. I'm going to ask you to come up here and stand up here and face me. So, yep, if you were here last night, if you've got a function in the leadership role of the church, and would there have been any that weren't there last night?
Just Vicki, but she came already.
Okay, she knows. She knoweth.
She knoweth.
Glenn, yeah, come in a little bit closer here. Glenn, you can sit if you want to. You can stay in your chair if it's better, but you need the microphone back. You know, when Moses was instructed by God to put some of his glory and some of his honor upon Joshua, we're going to do that. I want you to pray. I want you to lead the prayer, and I want you to put your authority, put your anointing, put your glory, put your capacities on these people, and I want you to believe God for them. Can you do that? Ken, you're a great Hello. Man. You're a great man, Glenn. You don't have to stand if you don't want to. It'd be brilliant if you could lay hands on them, but I don't know if that's a good thing. Is that doable or not?
Let's not do it.
Okay, let's not do it.
Yep.
How about I be your proxy?
Sure.
Is that all right?
Yes.
I'd let Joan be your proxy too, but I want you to pray for Joan too, and then Joan can help me pray for him. So I want you all to join your hearts in faith. I heard what you said last night. You all went around the room and you pretty much all said the same things. You gave witness, you gave endorsement, and you gave understanding. So right now I need your hearts and your hands stretched out to these people. You can come up and pray for them. You can touch them. You can do that. You don't have to stand so far away. You can move in closer. And Glenn's going to pray from there. And if you feel led in particular, I want you to lay hands on him and pray with him as he imparts his glory, his anointing, his authority. God said to Moses, put some of your glory on Joshua. Not all of it. He's not gone. He still needs the share of it. But beyond that, it's because we're not duplicating Glenn. I give you some, but you got to come up with some on your own. You got to be you. You got to be you.
I have a need, David, to do something first.
You go ahead, buddy. You're the master.
It's an instruction. For many years, I have stood in your place and believed God for finances. Lois, many times, believing God at my side. Joan. And that now becomes your responsibility. This place, God instructed us to build it. God instructed us to have a place that would bring the church together, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, together in one place on occasion. A place where others would say, look at that church. The Lord dwells there. And we've done that. But it takes a lot of faith.
It does.
To keep this place going.
It does.
I've not come before you before and asked you to continuously stand. But now I need the leaders to lead the charge. I need you to believe God that the bills are paid and to do what it takes. Together, not separately, together. Joining your faith together, because it takes a bunch of it to make sure that the bills get paid. That's your charge today. Do not drop that charge. It's a very important thing that we do because he told us to build it and he told us he would maintain it, but it takes our faith to bring it in. I need you to say that this morning. I need to say to all that will hear me this morning. At times in a church, when you're going through what I'm just going to call stuff, people tend to pull back on their finances. This is not a time to pull back on finances. This is a time when you support the leaders here who will believe and add your faith to theirs and give extra. Right now could be a dangerous time in our church, or it could be a time of great victory.
Amen.
I'm looking for a good report.
Amen.
a good report, a report of great victory. I'll be asking Lois to keep me up to speed as to how that victory takes place in the financial realm. When you join your faith with your finances, something miraculous happens in your own life.
Yes.
It's an amazing thing. I watched it many times. I'm believing that we're coming into that time right now. It's a time of victory and a time when, oh boy, are we going to be able to say thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Your kingdom.
I'm not going anywhere. My faith is going to continue to be with you. But I want to explain to you just a little bit, leaders, friends, of what's happening here. I used to like to be able to go into my nothing box on occasion. I used to say, I'm just going to have a time in my nothing box right now. And for me, that was that could have been a time of meditation. It could have been a time where God was talking to my heart and all of that for you. But what's happening now, and part of the reason that I'm stepping back a little bit, is that on occasion, I go into my nothing box and I have no say there. I'm just all of a sudden there. And that is not something that can be tolerated or worked with.
That's right.
And so when I get into that nothing box, I'm sorry if I let you down in that area, but I want you to understand what's happening, what's going on here. Nothing box is more and more evident, and all of a sudden in the middle of a conversation or whatever I'm doing, I can slide into that nothing box.
Yeah. Stress makes it worse too, doesn't it?
Stress makes it worse, yes. So I'm lightening the load. I want to have many more years, and I want only to go into a nothing box that I chose. Amen. Not one that came involuntary.
Are you giving them permission to yank you out?
I'm giving them permission to pray for me.
There you go. Don't let her push you around, Glenn.
I wouldn't do that.
Don't give her the key to that box, buddy. She'll take the door off the hinges.
And so, Father, I'm so glad to be able to come before you this morning, bringing these men and women with me. These people that I love.
Yes.
These people that I've walked henceforth with to lead this church. And Lord, I charge them this morning with continuing in that and in a greater manner, a wonderful fashion, after the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, I pray that this church will now become what it's supposed to be, a safe haven for the citizens of Prince Albert, a place where people who have needs of every kind can come and have their needs met, sometimes spiritually and sometimes in the actual. I thank you, Lord, that they'll find love here.
Yes.
That love will, first of all, work within this leadership group and within the body of Christ here at the church that's here today. But that love will be known all through this area that this is a place that loves. Years ago, I was a associate minister of Christian Center at the time in Saskatoon. And we had a slogan that had to do with love. And I'd like to press that slogan even as we pray, that love and the thought of it. I'd like to impress that on you as we pray this morning. that in everything, you'll walk in love.
Jesus.
In everything that we need to do, in every place that we are taken by the Lord, every place that where love needs to go, it comes to you here in our prayer life, in our laying hands on the sick, wherever there's a need, that first of all we think love, the kind of love that he put in our heart.
Beloved, love one another.
Yes. Please say again.
Beloved, love one another.
Uh-huh.
The story is that when John the Apostle was an old man, he couldn't even walk anymore. They carried him around. All he said over and over when he preached was, beloved, love one another. Somebody got fed up with it. So why do you say that all the time? Why is that the only thing you say? He said, because if you can do that, that's enough.
That's enough. That's right. If you can do that, that's enough. So I've charged you this morning.
Yeah, you have to pray.
And now.
Impart. You have to impart your glory, your mantle, your anointing to us as leaders.
Want me to help you?
Yes, please.
Father Glenn and I stand here representing the offices that you've called us to, apostolic,
yes,
pastoral,
uh-huh,
teaching, prophetic, evangelistic. We represent those men and women that have been called out to lead the body of Christ as they fulfill their ministries.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so right now, Glenn and I add our heart and our faith together, mm-hmm, and we release that particular anointing that's on this house, it's on Glenn's stead. We release apostolic gifts,
yes,
pastoral gifts, yes, teaching gifts, prophetic gifts,
yes,
insights, Lord, words of wisdom. We take of that glory that you've imparted into Glenn, and we say it increases and now transfers in large measures without diminishing Glenn, transfers in large measures to Joan. Mm-hmm. To Megan, to Kelly, to Steve, and to the church staff in general. We only have what we've received of you, and we know that what we've received we freely give. So we disperse that grace, that authority, that anointing, and we call them blessed in Jesus' name. And I'm going to ask these leaders here to reach out their hands and begin in your own way to pray for these people standing up here in front of you and releasing them to be what God's called them to be. And children, I do mean pray. Pray out loud, pray in English,
thank you,
pray.
Father, thank you for this.
Pray your blessings. Congregation, pray with us.
Thank you, Lord,
we declare, we receive these people. We receive these people as the leaders you've called us to. We receive these people as anointed leaders to give us words of wisdom, words of knowledge, words of instruction, words of truth, words of increase, words of blessing, words of prophet with a P and an H, words alive and true, words of life, words of hope, words of joy. We say that they increase, that they walk in a new grace, that they walk in a new level of authority and anointing. And we thank you, Lord, for what you start, what you've already started before, what you continue on today, and what you increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now I want you to say, I want you to turn around and look at Glenn. And I want you to do the same thing Glenn did to you. I want you to say what I say. Hold my hand, Megan.
Pastor Glenn,
we commend you to
God
and the word of his grace.
He is able to keep you
and establish you
and
to cause you to have your inheritance.
We
bless you
and
we
release you
to the further will of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. He does.
By extension, you're my inheritance.
Yep, you are.
Right. Praise God. We pray that over the leadership this morning, but I've always thought of the people that are with us now here in this church as leadership, all of you. And so by extension, the same prayer that we prayed here in the front, be on you. Be on you. Right now, I'm going to ask you to please be seated, and because we're going to take an offering right now. Yes, we'll bring the team up afterwards, please. Get prepared for an offering. Let me talk to you about it for a minute. We oftentimes bring David McGrew over to help us with various things because he's the president of CSCM, Canadian Fellowship of Churches and Ministers that we belong to as a church.
Which you pretty much hand-built.
Which I pretty much hand-built, that's the truth. But which I passed on to David, which he...
Yeah, after you broke it. No, you didn't. You didn't break it. It's not broke.
Praise the Lord. We bring him over here, and he comes at his own expense. And that's just not right to do all the time. And so this morning, I want to take a special offer for Brother McGrew here, who comes to help, to stand at our sides, to lift our hands, who is forever praying for us and having prayer take place in the leadership of CFCM and so on for us. I'd like it that we, this morning, would give him a love offering such as he's not had before. So I'm asking you to say, God, what part do I have in that? Ask God how he would have you to pray and to pay.
You've humbled me.
And let us do the right thing this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, go to God and write those checks. Ushers, get prepared to do whatever you need to do.
You're all good sheep. I'm very humbled by your offering. You're all good sheep, and I know you're going to do what you're told to do in every respect. He's going to receive the offering, and he's going to have the praise and worship team come back up, and at some point he's going to dismiss you. I want, before you leave the building, Alex, listen to me. Before you leave the building, make your way around to all these people who are up here on this wall with me and to Glenn and Joan, and tell them that you love them, and something about receiving them or blessing them or what you have received from them. Do you know how to do this? Oh, Jesus. Do you know how to do this?
Yes.
Duff, do you know how to do this? Stand up and show me. Stand up and pick somebody out and do it. Oh, man. Sean, I'm going to knock you out, buddy.
Okay. He received that.
He received it. Give him good words. Speak words. Look him in the eye. Say words of love. Say words of affirmation. Megan, I can't wait to hear you preach again because you got words of life for me. God give you wisdom. God give you grace. Do this. Do this with Glenn and Joan. And if it's in your heart, even if it took it out of my offering, I'm great with that. Give money to Glenn and Joan. Show your love. Show your love. Boy, you're quiet. I'm not coming back here no more. I said, okay.
Come on, praise and worship team. When you've given, please come up and lead us in a final song this morning.
Final
for this morning.
Thank you all.
Thanks be to the Lord for this praise and worship team.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ushers, are you prepared to receive now?
They're done.
They're all done?
They're done. They're done and done.
Thank you. Praise God.